Hello, my name's Florence. Welcome to the Obs Pod. I'm an NHS obstetrician, hoping to share some thoughts and experiences about my working life. Perhaps you enjoy Call the Midwife, maybe birth fascinates you, or you're simply curious about what exactly an obstetrician is. You might be pregnant and preparing for birth. Perhaps you work in maternity and want to know what makes your obstetric colleagues tick, or you want some fresh ideas and inspiration. Whichever of these is the case, and for that matter, anyone else that's interested, the Obs Pod is for you. Episode 127, Rebirth. Language has been a topic for me. For some time, it's been a consistent theme through my work on maternity experience. And if you want to look back, I've got two early episodes on the language we use in maternity care, episodes 23 and 24. So when the Rebirth Project was published by the Royal College of Midwives last June 2022, I looked at it with interest. And although it came out in the summer and has been on my list as an episode I wanted to do for some time, it hadn't felt like exactly the right moment. But as we head into 2023, a new year, I felt rebirth a great topic for the start of a brand new year. So what is the Rebirth Project? Well, it was a project by the Royal College of Midwives, but in collaboration with many others, to look at the language we use to describe birth. And when it was published, I must admit, I was at that point a little underwhelmed by the findings, because many of the preferred terminologies that they came up with were, I guess, shifts that I'd already made in the language I was using. I hadn't been using cesarean section or emergency cesarean for some time. I'd been already using the idea of cesarean birth and writing cesarean birth on a consent form. And I had already also made the switch from instrumental birth to assisted vaginal birth. So a lot of the language included in the rebirth summary I'd already shifted and thought about. So for me, the publication didn't really mark a big change. But for today's episode, I decided to take a bit of a deeper look at the project itself and some of its findings. If you look at the links I've included in the programme notes, there's a summary document, a full report, and methodology. And the methodology makes quite interesting reading. They started with listening groups, only 130 people, but with efforts to include diversity and those that are sometimes less represented in traditional surveys. They divided the members of the listening groups into 12 different groups, and then they aggregated the findings of these 12 groups, and phrases were ranked before being put out to a wider voices survey. Interestingly, looking at the voices survey, there was a massive drop off in completion of the survey, with around 1,800 people starting the survey, but only 764, that is 42%, answering any questions. So a huge drop off in completion. So they then used these listening groups and the voices survey to produce a final survey, which did have nearly 7,000 participants and 84% completion. And in this survey, they had 5 different birth vignettes and one had to choose your preferred option. So they had kind of 3 stages. More than a third of respondents were service users, 37% were service users, of whom around 50% had given birth in the last 5 years. 48% were midwives or student midwives or support workers. And only 5% were obstetricians or obstetric anaesthetists. And I found this very interesting, particularly in this day and age where potentially 50% of births could be obstetric led, either through cesarean birth, assisted vaginal birth, or induced labour and birth. And I wondered if the low numbers were maybe reflective of it being predominantly a Royal College of Midwives project. But I also wondered how this low level of obstetric involvement or obstetric anaesthetic involvement could lead to difficulties when you try and implement and embed the results if there's insufficient buy-in from those using the terminology. The report is interesting because they discuss their own strengths and weaknesses, and they comment that they had 12% participation from minority ethnic backgrounds as opposed to 14% of the UK population, despite the attempts they made to hear these different voices. And they also detail in the methodology the very small number of people involved who didn't identify as female, either identifying as male, non-binary or trans. But they haven't given a comparison of what that would be in the background population. 18% of the survey respondents had some sort of physical or mental health condition, disability or long-term illness. And again, they didn't contrast this with what they were aiming to achieve. The methodology contained, in Appendix 1, the Voices survey questions, and they made interesting reading to me. Many of the words in question 7 that were put to service users to describe their birth were not words I might immediately have thought of, but presumably they came from the listening groups. For example, you had to think about words you might use to describe your labour and birth, and they included exciting, enjoyable, satisfying, pleasant, exhilarating, a challenge, embarrassing, exhausting, difficult, traumatic, anxiety-provoking. I remember completing the professionals part of the survey, and I remember being somewhat frustrated at the very limited options that I could select, and almost thinking, is that it? It's very short with very few options. Clearly, I must have participated in the final survey, the vignettes part. So I'm comforted to see in the methodology that there were plenty of free text options available for people. Looking at the full report makes interesting reading. When you look at Appendix 2, the preferred terms for clinical notes from the 5 vignettes, it's quite striking that although there were very much lower numbers of obstetricians and obstetricianists, around 350, in comparison to midwives or student midwives or MSWs, around 3,000, that the answers from those different professional groups are strikingly similar. And it's interesting to me to see that both those groups differ quite considerably from the way service users, people that have given birth, describe the different births and the different terms that service users feel actually they wouldn't want to be used. So to me, it seems like maternity professionals, regardless of whether they are midwives or obstetricians, are using very different language from women themselves. Taking an example of what's been described as a labour that started through induction, using a syntocin on infusion drip, using an epidural, and having a baby vaginally without forceps or ventouse. Service users pretty much equally describe that as an assisted labour, labour with interventions, and then slightly less induced and augmented. But if you look at both the midwives and the obstetricians category, the majority of them will call it induced and augmented, 99% in both cases. And only 40% would describe that as labour with interventions, which 84% of service users would describe it as. And again, only 59% would describe it as assisted labour, which 84% of service users would have done. So it's very interesting that the professionals are using one set of language and service users are using another. I also wonder whether the people that may have responded to the Voices survey or the final survey, maybe there may be selection bias, that these are already people that are interested in adjusting their language. Because, again, there are some categories which are quite similar. For example, planned caesarean, service users, midwives, and obstetricians all favouring that over elective or pre-labour caesarean. And if I think about my place of work and how people are describing things, I don't think that that actually reflects what the majority of people are using to describe things. So I therefore feel that maybe this isn't that representative a sample. Does that matter? Well, it doesn't necessarily, but it does if you're trying to implement change. So, as I mentioned, this is a project that was collaborative. So this was done not only by the Royal College of Midwives, but if you look, there's a huge range of organisations invested in this work. And the most popular terms they came out with are spontaneous vaginal birth, birth with forceps, induced and or augmented labour, unplanned cesarean birth, planned cesarean birth, and cesarean birth. And I think that's the bit that when I read it really underwhelmed me, because it didn't really tell me something I didn't know. But if I think about that language in the context of my daily work, I'm thinking, is that what the majority of obstetricians and midwives are using? Not so sure. So this project, the background was, there was a lot of debate about the term normal birth and the idea that normal places a value judgment on things and suggests that other outcomes are abnormal. And I totally agree, normal birth is a very problematic and out of date way of describing things. So that was the background as to why they undertook this project. And if you look at the summary report, everyone fundamentally wants the same thing. Everyone wants women, birthing people and their babies to have good outcomes and feel their labours and birth experiences were as positive and empowering as possible, and their wishes were listened to, heard, understood and respected. And what women wanted when people were talking to them about their labours and birth were descriptive and accurate language, non-judgmental, non-hierarchical, and reflecting their actual experience, not what others assume the experience to be. Health professionals also want terms that are clear, descriptive, and unambiguous, consistently understood between individuals and professional groups, and specific enough to identify differences in labour and birth. The most important piece of the report, I feel, is a page in the summary document called the 5 A's. First, acknowledge. Acknowledge the woman's previous birth experience, or whether this is her first time. Ask, how would the woman describe a birth she's had or would like to have? Number 3, affirm. Check with the woman the language used in your notes to describe any previous birth. Does that description feel right to her, or is there another term she would prefer? 4, avoid. Try not to make assumptions about her choices. For example, if there was a previous cesarean birth, don't make your own interpretation of what you think her experience might have been. And I would say that equally applies if there's a previous vaginal birth. Don't make assumptions about how she feels about that. And then 5, annotate. Record the woman's own description of her previous experience of birth. Record the woman's own description of her previous experience of birth as fully as possible, and her preferences on language and terminology. The only thing wrong with that really is, why are we recording anything for a woman? Why aren't we asking her to record? But for me, that is the most important bit of the project. For me, one of the major weaknesses of the report is that there doesn't seem to be a clear plan in terms of implementation. There is a page of recommendations about the importance of using personalised language in conversations, and as I've mentioned, there's that excellent 5 A's page, but it's not totally clear to me how this is going to be implemented or how the learning of this is going to spread. And that's partly why I wanted to include it on the podcast. Yes, I remember getting an email at the time it came out last June, but how many people have the time to read and digest and think in depth about this sort of report? How are we using it? Are we incorporating it into our training and our daily conversations? and is there more we could be doing? If you look when it was published, the RCOG did produce a short statement saying this was production of a new lexicon and emphasising the need for personalised language. But how are we incorporating that into the day-to-day? Therefore, for my first zesty bit of the year, I'd like to suggest, if you're a woman pregnant or parent going through maternity care, make sure that you're happy with the way people are describing your birth, either your previous birth experience or what you're hoping for as a future birth experience, and that they are using the language that feels right to you, and perhaps draw people's attention to the rebirth project if they're using language that you feel doesn't fit. And if you're a professional working in maternity services, make sure you're aware of the rebirth project, and most importantly, use those five A's to have conversations with women. Acknowledge, ask, affirm, avoid, annotate. I very much hope you found this episode of the OBS Pod interesting. If you have, it'd be fantastic if you could subscribe, rate and review on whatever platform you find your podcasts, as well as recommending the OBS Pod to anyone you think might find it interesting. There's also tons of episodes to explore in my back catalogue, from clinical topics, my career and journey as an obstetrician, and life in the NHS more generally. I'd like to assure women I care for that I take confidentiality very seriously and take great care not to use any patient identifiable information unless I have expressly asked the permission of the person involved, on that rare occasion when it's been absolutely necessary. If you found this episode interesting and want to explore the subject a little more deeply, don't forget to take a look at the programme notes, where I've attached some links. If you want to get in touch to suggest topics for future episodes, you can find me at the OBS Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and you can email me theobspod@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.